only talking about the home and the family here for a few services. You might say, well, I don't know if that sounds too exciting. Well, then maybe that's why you need to hear it. Amen. But we're going to be going to Judges chapter number 2 in a little bit. Like I said, I'll just kind of recap. I've been, over the last year, especially last fall, over a couple of events that happened last fall at the church, different things, God was really dealing with me about this. And I honestly didn't realize it until he began to deal with me about it. And the more I prayed about it and sought God about how to do it or how to proceed with what he's putting in my heart, I really started seeing the greater importance that I had missed. You know, as we'll see in this verse, this passage of scripture we're going to read here in Judges in chapter 2 in a minute, you and I can be a great generation of faith. And really take and possess the plan of God and advance the plan of God. But if we don't put it into our children and the next generation is not a generation of faith, we've really failed.
Right.
Yeah.
You might not think of that much, but that's actually something the Lord's been dealing with me about. You know, when you get to be 57, almost 58 years old, you don't have the thinking anymore that in your physical body, at least, that you're going to live forever. After a while, you start realizing, you know, there's going to be a day sometime, not tomorrow, not next week, next month, next year, but there's going to be a day once I live out my life, I'm going to live to 86. I don't know about you.
Come on.
But if I get to 86 and I'm not satisfied, Jesus and I'll talk it over.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about when you know, you get to be a little older, you start thinking about things a little different that you haven't thought about before.
Absolutely.
Start thinking about the fact, you know, this next generation is going to have to start taking some responsibilities. And are they ready? Are they prepared? And are they full of faith? Are they full of the Holy Ghost? And are they renewing their mind? Are they ready? Are we doing a good job?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so forth and so on. So, you know, that's true about pastoring and so forth, but that's true about parenting,
yes.
Being a parent. Parents,
yes.
We got some parents in here, right?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. So the next generation needs to be a generation of faith as well. Isn't that right? There's a strong, strong current in our culture really endeavoring to destroy of worldliness and wrong thinking and so forth and secularism or humanism or whatever else is out there, just devilish stuff. That's strongly working against the family, trying to destroy the family unit. And God's plan for the family is still the same as it always has been. But it's very difficult. Just flat honest. You know, not that we're not honest the other times, but just flat honest. That's very difficult to find a family in culture. I'm talking about a Christian family in culture today. Now, maybe not the smaller nucleus family, you know, like mom and dad and brothers and sisters and so forth. I mean, you know, sons and daughters. But maybe, you know, the extended family, you know, we're adults. Maybe our brothers, our sisters, or, you know, our aunts, our uncles, or something like that. It's very difficult to find a family in even Christian circles today that doesn't have some sort of heartache and pain in it. Whether it's divorce, whether it's children that went out to serve the devil and are just, you know, embarrassing and painful to the family, you know, or something. You understand what I'm talking about? It's very difficult. And that's because, wow, that's a big subject because the bottom line is we're not getting enough teaching along this line and we don't walk in the light of the word along this line. There's complete success available in the family, in the home, where kids turn out right, kids serve God. And I don't mean they have to be a preacher, but whatever the plan of God is for their life. God can want them to be a, you know, a soldier, a politician, a businessman or something, you know. But whatever the plan of God is, they're doing it, but they're serving the kingdom. They're in the kingdom. They're not a liability to the kingdom. They're a great asset. And they're needed, you know. But that's God's plan. My family, up until recent years, all my family, I have four brothers and sisters, five of us kids, you know, mom and dad. Now there's about, from my mom and dad, My dad's in heaven, but from my mom and dad, I think last count, I mean, it changes every day almost. Not quite every day, but last count, there's about 67 that from my parents, wow. Mom, you know, five kids,
yeah.
Right. And then having kids,
yeah.
And they somehow, for some reason, they start having, then they get yeah. married and they start having kids.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you go to the family reunion, and then you're who, and you fit where, and when were you born? I didn't even know you were on the planet, you know? But that's been a, you know, family explosion there. But up until recent years, there wasn't a single death, a single person debilitated, a single person in prison, no divorces, nothing. Family unity, get together, and everybody's loving one another.
Yeah.
And you know, the only thing that gets irritating is how hard we pick on one another and laugh.
Right.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of that. There's just been a divorce, I believe one divorce. No deaths, no premature deaths. Mm-hmm. My father's in heaven. He's died in his 80s. Right at 80. But otherwise, just a lot of good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody's perfect.
Right.
Except Pastor Jay. But the rest of them, they're certainly not perfect. You know, if everybody just be like me and you, we'd have it made, wouldn't we? Yeah, the world would be a beautiful place. But no, I'm just saying that's not perfection, but that's a little bit of a glimpse of what it can be. But that's not real common. Most families can't get together at Thanksgiving or Christmas because there's strife or division and that scoundrel over there, they did this, and there's just no unity and so forth.
Yeah.
Don't look at me, because it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's not the way it could be, but it is the truth.
Yeah.
And, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. And really, there's no pain like family pain.
Yeah.
You know, you can lose a job, maybe have a blow up with your boss and get over it. But family pain just has a way of just going on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to live under that and be bound by it, but you know what I'm talking about. It'd just be a lot nicer if it just wasn't there.
Right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You know, because whether it's divorce and, take, for example, kids have parental rights they have to, a court has to decide how often you can be over there, how often you can be over here. By the way, if you think, the best option here is divorce, there's times divorce is appropriate, don't misunderstand me. But if you think, the best option here is divorce because I'm just not happy or something, you're jumping out of the pan into the fire.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize divorce is not what people think it is.
That's so true. Come on.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yes, there is.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get remarried, and then the parental rights, and then the next one they married, you don't want that, your kid over there with them because of whatever the evil spirits they're yielding to. And y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. It just gets to be a mess.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true.
So it's just better to learn how to make this work.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not too many amens, but it's all the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. There's some things that, we won't get into that right now. But you need to think about the kids before you just so quickly jump into divorce. Because they're the ones that suffer the hardest. Kids need the security of knowing they can come home to a safe place where mom and dad love one another. They need that. That for their own upbringing, for their own well-being and wholeness in their upbringing, they need that. Anyway, we're just going to spend some time on this. I believe the Spirit of God is grieved by so many issues in the families that are in the body of Christ. He's saddened, you might say, because he has such answers for these things.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And let's talk about it a little bit. Amen. Praise God. I believe it would be good to have just some solid guidance from the Word and from the pastoral gift to have just some practical talks, some good counsel, some good wisdom, and I think a lot of things can be avoided if we just spend some time talking about these things. Amen. All right. Did you find Judges? Chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you know we're gonna talk today about kids, raising kids? I didn't plan to start out there. I was gonna start out in marriage, but it just seemed like the unction was on raising kids. But how many of you know, in order for there's just a few things that if a few things were put in place, it would fix a lot of things, and then we can start working on the details. But one is just marry right. We're going to spend a lot of time, possibly get into this Wednesday night. We'll see.
Amen.
We'll see, because we won't know what, you know, whatever the Lord wants us to do. But just marrying right and not having such low standards when it comes to marrying. Well, they're a Christian. Well, it's a little like, you know, doing business with somebody because they're a Christian.
Yeah, right.
You ever done somebody's business with somebody's Christian and they were not walking in the light of who they are or doing things right? Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't think I'm going to do business with you because you put a fish on your business card. That means almost nothing to me. Somebody say, no, you should prefer your brother. Well, I will if I can get a good job out of my brother. Amen. Now, why'd I get on that? I don't know, but marrying's the same way.
Yeah.
Don't marry somebody. Well, they are a Christian.
Yeah.
Is their mind renewed? Are they?
Yeah.
Do they love what you love? Do they go to church?
Come on.
Well, yeah, they started when we started dating. Yeah, because they wanted to get you. Anyhow, I'm going to behave this morning. Tell your neighbor, help, pray for him. He'll behave. But Judges chapter number 2, I want to read this, verses 6 through 11. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. This is after they kind of, were taking the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Look at that. Who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And talks about where they buried him. Jump on down there. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. In other words, Joshua's generation. They all died. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And you can keep on reading verse 12 and 13, 14. And you read down the rest of the end of that chapter. It talks about they got off into, you know, serving other gods, not walking with God, not walking in the light of his word, and getting into all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
God sent them a judge, and the judge delivered them because they responded to that judge. As soon as that judge died, then they got off in trouble again. Another nation would attack them. They would become, you know, subservient to another nation. God would raise up, and they'd cry unto the Lord. God would raise up a judge. And that's what the book of Judges is. It's just cycles of, you know, serving God for a while, and then because they had a good leader, and then it wasn't really something they wanted to do.
Right.
It just they didn't want to hurt anymore.
Yeah.
You understand? Some people are like that.
Yeah.
They just don't want to hurt anymore, so they'll pray or come to church for a while. As soon as it stops hurting, you won't see them again.
Because
they didn't really have a heart to serve God. They didn't really know God. They didn't really love God. They just wanted to stop hurting. So that's the story of the book of Judges. But Joshua and his generation might be one of the greatest faith generations of the whole Old Testament. Because, I mean, they're the ones that took Canaan's land. Isn't that right? They did great exploits of faith, had great victories. I mean, you're talking about David and Goliath. You're talking about Second Chronicles, where they sent out praisers out front, and the angels were released, and they didn't even have to fight.
Right.
We're talking about battles where hailstones came out of the sky and defeated their enemies, and all sorts of miracles and demonstrations of God's power, because they were walking in the light of the word and walking with God. So a great generation of faith, but yet, and in that sense, maybe succeeded to a great degree, but yet in another sense, they actually failed, right? Because the generation after them had not been trained up to know God like they knew him. Isn't that right? And so you can, you know, what is it really success to be healed of cancer, fulfill the plan of God for your life, walk it all out to the end? The devil can't stop you. He can't get you to quit. He can't discourage you. You do everything God told you to do, and you die, and your kids just don't want anything to do with God.
Right.
Are you really a success?
Come on.
Are we really a success?
Right. Come on.
Amen. And I want you to think about that. I think God's saying to us that it's time to start thinking about this. About raising children properly, training up the next generation, making sure they have the faith that we have. Somebody said, well, I can't make them have faith. Well, you need to rethink about some things. With the right training, that the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Right? Now, that doesn't start at 12 and 14 years old. You got to start that whenever they're born. But right on the other hand, there's, you know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so there's things that we need to think about along some of these lines. You know, the next generation doesn't really know God and walk with God just because we did. They do that because they're trained. They're trained. And proper parenting is in place. And parenting involves training. Say it out loud. Parenting involves training. It's not just about feeding their bellies and putting clothes on their back, teaching them to brush their teeth, right? It's about training in spiritual things. Remember the Old Testament, it talks about, you know, when you do this, when you do certain things, serve the Lord your God and do certain things that he told you to do. And the kids ask, why do we do this? Then you talk to them about what God did for you and how, what the word says and how he said, this is the way we worship him and show our thanks to him and so forth and so on. And that's all training. And you involve them in it, right? So Proverbs 22, Amplified, the classic of Proverbs 22, 6. I think we know this verse, but look at it in the Amplified Classic. It says, train up a child in the way he should go and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. Oh, there's a whole lot there. We don't have time to get on that right now. But notice there's different children are going to respond differently to training. Training does not just mean punishment. Training is actually what happens before punishment, but punishment can be a part of the training, right? So punishment is, you know, consequences for not following the training, but it's not fair to punish if you never trained to begin with. I didn't know. There was a couple times, not too often, but a couple times I didn't know I did something wrong because nobody told me I wasn't supposed to do that. Got punished for it. Well, that can, you know, the Bible says don't provoke your child to wrath. That can get your child angry and then, you know, not fair. Yeah. So we don't want to do that. But that training has to be in place for us. And punishment has to be in place. Both of those things are have to be in place. But here's what he said. This training is to be in the way they should go and in keeping with their individual gift or bent. Any parents in here know that one child would respond differently than another child? Maybe one of them, you just stare at them real strong with a glare that every mama has and every child knows. Right. And their conscience is so tender. They just, okay, I won't, and you know, I'll stay 500 miles away from that. I won't do that again. And the other ones see your glare and just, I'm going to do it again. Right? And it takes a little something different to train them. You have to match that strength of, you have to match that strength of rebellion with the strength of your resolve. No, I'm not done training you yet. And then right here's my knee and right here's the wooden spoon, right? You got to work that rebellion out of them, right? Some want to know where the line is so they can stay far away from it. Some want to know where the line is so they can put their toes over the edge of it and just see if mama's going to do anything or daddy's going to do anything. So train them. Notice he said, according to their individual bent and gifting, or gift and bent. So some of them have a bit more of a bent of stubbornness. Parents know what I'm talking about. But some of them are a little different. And there's all sorts of things you could talk about. But notice also according to their gift. You know, if they're not supposed to be a businessman, they're supposed to be a preacher, that's going to take a different kind of training.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Amen.
right?
Yeah.
What's their gifting?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to send all my kids to college. Who said? Some of them might not need it. Some of them might need it. You know, if they need certain skills in engineering or whatever they're going to do. But yet, if they're called to preach, why are you sending them to that den of devils? In fact, you need to be guarded about any place you sent your kids to college, because those are dens of devils. 75% of Christian kids, you know, it shouldn't be this high, but they're obviously not trained right. But they lose their faith by the end of the first year of college. That's a statistic that they have found out because of all the crazy teachings. They're not just teaching math down there, you know, and science. They're teaching. They got an agenda, you know. So, you know, you have to train them according to what they need. Some kids don't need to go to college. You know, some of the richest men in the world never went to college. Not against college, but you have to be led. Anyway, so okay, parenting involves training then, right? And so when parents are you know, because we live in a culture where it's busy, parents have busy days, and they come home and they're tired, and they don't want to, you know, because they're tired, and because they're tired, they don't want to be a parent right now. I've been working all day. I've been dealing with stuff all day, and I don't want to be a parent right now. So technology has provided a distraction so that parents don't have to interact with their children. Just give our kids something over there to distract them so I can rest. You understand what I'm talking about? And that's not parenting. We're going to get down to nitty-gritty today. And so because of that, by proxy, the devil is raising people's kids sometimes. Now, not all technology is wrong. You realize you can put guards on things and make sure there's only certain things that they are watching or able to have access to. But yet, right on the other hand, we all know that technology can be an access for the enemy to start polluting their minds, putting things in their mind, putting wrong things in their mind. And so the thing that is influencing them the greatest is not the parent. It is now the world, and technology is a means where the world can get in, right? And because the parents are distracted and not paying attention, the enemy's over here planting things in their children. There's a verse in Proverbs 29, verse number 15, that I can barely talk about parenting without going to. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." You might want to underline that, give wisdom. You know, love gives. And one of the greatest things you can do for your child is to give them wisdom. In other words, put things into them, train them about all sorts of things. Train them about relationships. Train them how to handle when they have thoughts of suicide. Train them whenever bullies bully them at school. Train, train, train. There's just 1,001 things that children don't, they shouldn't have to learn the hard way. They should be able to glean from the experience and the spiritual maturity and the relationship with God that their parents have. Because you got the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You should know ahead of time, okay, little Johnny, something's not right. Something happened today at school because he's just not acting the way he normally acts. And you need to know how, by the Holy Ghost, what it is, how to get him to talk, how to get him to open up and say whatever happened, so that you can speak into that and not let some bad seed get planted in him.
Exactly, yes.
And so thank God for the Holy Ghost. By the way, when it says there, and we'll get into this later too, goodness, how are we going to get into all this? But, you know, it says they're trained them according to their individual gift and bent.
Yes.
Well, then you're going to have to know, how would you be able to do that if you don't know what that gifting is?
Yeah.
You might be able to see their bent because it starts manifesting, and their gift, you can see a little bit of it sometimes. But sometimes you don't know what their gift is. What's God's plan for my child? Well, the Holy Ghost will show you what his plan is for child. God won't, he would be unjust to ask you to train them according to their individual gifting and you not know what that gifting is. Remember Pastor Nancy knew from, I don't know if it was right at birth, but soon right after birth, Stephen is not called to the pastor office. Grant's called to the pastor office. Stephen's going to have a road ministry. Both of them are called to the ministry. Not all kids are called to the ministry. But my point is, she sought the Holy Ghost. How many of you know the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, He'll show you things to come?
Yes.
What about with your children? Will He show you what the plan of God is for your children?
Yes.
Really, He's obligated to have you train them for whatever that gift is.
Yes. Amen.
And He will.
Amen.
You as the parent are the steward. That child came from God.
Yes.
You're the steward of that child.
Yes.
And on behalf of God, he's in one sense, you might say it's not exactly right the way I'm going to say it, but yet on the other hand, it's true that God sort of lent them to you to be able to steward them and train them for His purposes.
Yeah.
See, stewardship is managing somebody else's affairs or money or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're a manager of a company, then you're a steward of that company on behalf of the owners.
Yeah.
And whenever you are training children, you're stewarding those children for the plan of God to secure the plan of God for that child.
Amen.
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 Amen. How good of a steward are we determines whether they, fulfill the plan of God, or they do some else carnal thing that their flesh wants to do, or they marry some carnal bucket or flesh pot that they found down at the university.
Come on.
Rather than a godly girl or a godly boy who wants to walk out together the plan of God with a God and have a godly home.
Right. Amen.
And secure the plan of God for the next generation after we're gone.
Amen.
God is a multi-generational God.
Yes, He is.
And He's looking at let's go over to Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 19, I believe. Genesis chapter number, let me see if I can get this here quick. 18 verses 17 through 19. Genesis 18, 17 through 19. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For look at this, for I know him." How many of you know God knows you and I? "I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." He's talking about Israel. You keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Do you know ultimately, not immediately, but ultimately what God spoke about Abraham is that the Messiah would come through him. Immediately, what God said to him was about, because he didn't have any children, but you're going to have children. It's going to be through Sarah.
Yeah.
Amen. And your seed will multiply as the stars of the heaven and the sand on the seashore. And I'm going to give them this land. Look from this place to this place. Everywhere you can see, this is going to be their land. That's the land of Canaan. And there were several other things before the actual Messiah was going to come.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the other hand, it all was leading up to Jesus getting in the earth.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
And so he's looking for a man to use to bring the Messiah into the earth. And one of the considerations whenever he's looking for somebody is, how's he going to treat his family? How's he going to raise his family? Will what I put into him, will what I reveal to him about myself, about my plan, about the duties of man to cooperate with my plan and be able to, be usable to God to bring that plan to pass, will that stop with that generation, with Abraham's generation, or will it go from his generation to the next generation, and to the next generation, and to the next generation, so that, because this is a multi-generational project here. This is not going to happen overnight. The Messiah is going to take some things in place for the Messiah to come. It's going to take generations. Some things in God takes generations.
Amen.
And that's not just true about Abraham's day. That's true about our day. God's working a plan in our day up until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He needs us to be people of faith. He needs us to know the Holy Ghost. He needs us to follow His plan. He needs us to consecrate ourselves and say, "Lord, our lives are yours. Use me as you want to use me." But He needs us to train the next generation to do the same thing.
Yes, sir.
So that it doesn't die with our generation. Spirit of Faith Family Church needs to be going on for 100 years from now. If Jesus doesn't come back. If Jesus dies, I think He's going to come back 400 years from now.
Yeah.
Oh, please, Lord Jesus, come back. You know what I'm talking about? But my point is, we need to have the next generation in place so that things are bam, bam, aren't missing a beat. The plan of God doesn't suffer. It doesn't stutter. It doesn't stumble. It doesn't end with our generation. It goes to the next generation.
Amen.
That's the way we need to be thinking. God is a multi-generational God, and some things in His plan will not be fulfilled in one generation. So it's not just going to be up to God to prepare the next generation. It's up to parents to prepare the next generation. It's not just up to the church. Amen. God didn't say, I know Him, that He goes to church and everybody thinks He's fine. No, I know His home life. I know the way He is at home. I know what standards He has in His house. I know He'll train His children right. I know He won't let His children go astray. He wasn't looking at His church life. He wasn't looking at how we look. Everybody's pretty in church. He was looking, what's going on in the home? What's going on in the home? What's being allowed in the home? Are they allowing the world in the home? Are they saying no to the world in the home? I get shocked sometimes at things little kids, because little kids don't have a filter on. And the things they'll say about what's allowed in their home. The Lord said to me one time, He said, one of the things you're having trouble with is that you have a church where some of the families are not Spirit-filled in their homes. They come to church and shout, but what's going on in their homes? That's affecting that next generation. See, your children are just passengers. This wherever influence, whatever atmosphere is in your home, because what you allow in, and don't tell me you don't know. You got the Holy Ghost that lets you know. Don't let them watch that movie.
Amen.
You can't. Your children can't have fellowship with devils, and then you wonder, why are my children rebelling? Yeah. Well, they're having fellowship with devils,
right.
And they did that in your home.
Right. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. That's your fault.
Yes, sir.
You got the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
See, when I was talking about farming them out to YouTube, TikTok.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about? Farming them out, letting somebody else raise them. I got things to do. And listen to this. I got things to do for God.
Yeah,
you do. Number one, raise your children right. Amen. That's just all smile. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's up to us that our children turn out. God didn't say it's up to Him. He said, you train up those children in the way they should go, they'll go, and then they'll not depart from it. He didn't say it's up to me. He said it's up to parents. Is that promise true? That's true. So God said, I know Him, talking about Abraham in Genesis 18. Everybody still happy this morning? I'm not mad at anybody. Praise God. You're not mad at me, right? Praise God. You like my tie. Everything's happy. Y'all still happy? Glad you came. I know Him that He'll command His children and His household after Him, and they'll keep the ways of the Lord. In other words, Abraham will see to it that the next generation comes up right. And they'll keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Now look at what will happen as a result. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which He had spoken of him. So some things take generations to fulfill. And for this to come to pass, which God's plan was for Abraham is bring in the Messiah. If that's going to come to pass, it's going to take more than one generation. And if that's going to, if it's going to come to pass, it's going to take each generation training the next generation.
Amen.
So the generations have to be trained, so there'll be no loss of the successive generations. Right?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's looking at how we conduct ourselves in raising our kids. There are things, according to this verse, there are things God's looking. He's got a plan. He's looking for somebody to use on a certain part of His plan. And He might say, it's not going to all happen in one generation, so I can't use such and such. I can't use so and so. Because that'll be lost. They're not training their children right. So I have to jump over them and look for somebody else. That's what that verse is saying. I don't want that to be us. Anyone in this church. Boy, that's tight, Pastor. But it's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just so I'll say amen every now and then, or shout a little bit and say, Pastor, you're preaching so good. And listen, the influence, Abraham's influence on his generation was so strong and so imprinted so strong on that generation that there would be enough fuel in that training, so to speak, to get to the next generation and the next generation. And so that's, you know, you ever read that verse that talks about as arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children in the, how's it say, in the hands of the, I don't know, I remember that. And so is the children in parents' hands, basically. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember how it says it. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Well, guess what a man with a bow and arrow is doing? He's directing.
Yes.
You know, he can shoot it over here. He can shoot it over here.
Yeah.
But he's also, if you know anything about arrows, the more momentum you give it, the further it's going to go.
Yes.
And that's the way he's talking about parenting needs to be. Parenting directs the child in the way they should go. And then the second part of training is not just the direction and the way they should go, but it is enough. That training is so forceful. I don't mean force like in abuse. That's not what I mean. But it's so strong. It's so impactful. It makes such a mark on their conscience and their little soul and their little spirit that it becomes who they are. No wonder they won't depart from it, because it's who they are. They don't depart from who they are. And that's what that momentum is. That arrow is going to have enough momentum to reach all the way to the target. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe I'll preach on prosperity. Y'all shout a little bit more. This is prosperity. There is nothing prosperous like a prosperous home and family. Praise the Lord. So God chose Abraham because he knew he would train his family right. And he needed that to get the Messiah. And there are things in the plan of God today that God's looking for people who are multi-generational families that will serve God.
Amen.
Praise God. As for you and your house, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So it matters how we conduct ourselves in our homes.
Yes.
It matters how we raise our children. God's watching. We know from 1 Timothy 3 concerning qualifications to be in the ministry, which is part of God's plan. Not everybody is in the fivefold ministry that is walking out God's plan, but yet this is part of the plan of God. Some people are called to the ministry, right?
Yes.
But we know from that he said there's qualifications for ministry in 1 Timothy 3. And one of the things he said was, in fact, you look at the list of qualifications, only one of them had anything to do with, one of them said apt to teach. That has to do with the gifting.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the other things had to do with their home life,
yes,
their character,
yes,
right? And one of them was apt to, he manages well his family.
Yes,
you ever read that?
Yes, sir.
That's a qualification for ministry.
Yeah, right.
Brother Hagin said he traveled all those early years. I mean, he traveled all his life, but I mean, those early years, he traveled and stayed in the homes of the pastors.
Right.
He didn't, you know, it wasn't a big thing to have a hotel or go to stay at the hotel back in, what, 30s, 40s, 50s, or whatever. That came later, but he would stay in the homes. He said, he stayed in those ministers' homes. He said 90% of them, 90% of them, according to 1 Timothy 3, didn't qualify to be in the ministry. And he said that home life issue was the main one.
Yeah. Wow.
Huh? Well, what if we see areas we need to improve on? Well, don't quit. Keep correcting stuff.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We're all making changes, right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Well, I say hallelujah a lot because you're not. So I got to hallelujah myself. No, it's good to be a little sober sometimes, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And so we need to see these things. I've had the Lord deal with me. I've had people that I said, Lord, I see that gifting in so-and-so. You know, what do you want to do with them? And crickets, nothing. Didn't get anything from the Lord. I'd come back around sometimes later, maybe a week or 2 months or so later. Lord, what about that? What do you want me to do about it? I see that gift. What do you want me? Nothing. The Lord say nothing. I'm like, well, you know, I guess we'll find a place. Lord, will you come back around again? Lord, what do you want me to do about that? Because I'm always interested in helping people, you know, step out into what God's called them to do.
Amen.
And not everybody, not all the time. I'm just talking about probably two times over the, well, three now that I'm thinking of it, over the course of 20, what is it, 20, 23 years, 24 years, whatever this has been. We've been pastoring here. Maybe only two or three times. So small, slight chance it's you. Very small chance it's you. People sometimes they come to me afterwards, was that me? Yeah. That's not why I said it. You know if it's you.
Right.
You don't need me to tell you if it's you. But nothing, the Lord does not say anything. I'm like, Lord, what about it? I've had two cases where I asked more detail. I said, Lord, what about it? Why not? He said, because of their home life. He said, I don't want that. You don't want that influence on the staff in close proximity to you like that. It's too much of an open door to the devil. Now somebody said, Pastor Nancy said she gave people a chance. Yeah, she was led. I'm not.
Uh-huh. Hey, yeah. Come on, sir.
Yeah. I gotta follow the under the witness.
Yes.
God will give people an opportunity.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've given people an opportunity before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just talking about three cases where he said, no, don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'm thinking of one individual. They have a tremendous gifting in the area of flowing with the Spirit and prayer in different areas. And I need it, to be honest with you. And I kept wanting to pull them into certain things. And the Lord said, no, no. And I asked the Lord about that one. And I said, Lord, what about that? And he said, you notice that they sort of let their children, you know, out there on their own, like they're a distraction. And because it's trying to, if I have to really be a parent to those children, then I'm kind of distracted from real. I really want to be praying. I really want to be this.
Well, come on.
I got to call. I got to do this. I got to obey God. And children are sort of distraction to them. And their children are left unkept in some areas and not being trained right in some areas. I said, yeah, I noticed that, but I didn't want to be critical about it. He said, that's the reason why not.
All right now. Come on. Come on.
That's really awesome. Yeah. I'm telling things I hadn't ever told before.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I don't know for sure. But it seems to me, in the way the Lord's talking to me about some of the things I'm teaching you now, that's a higher priority than some calling to the ministry. What is it that we have an epidemic of in our culture? You ever heard of the PK syndrome? PK means pastor's kids. Where there's some pastor, some minister that's raised up by God and doing mighty things, but their kids turn out to be little hellions. Little devils, flesh pots, worldly as can be. They look like they if you see them somewhere, they look like, you know, they dress all gothic and rebellious and stuff like that. You ever seen stuff like that?
Yes, sir.
You know, that pastor, I'm sure, is called to God. Sure, you see the fruit of things.
Yeah.
That's a gifting. That's a calling. He's fulfilling that call. But how successful is it to be used like that, but you lose your own kids?
Right. Oh, that's good.
What is it in that home that those children rebelled against? Well, they should have listened to my preaching. Yeah, maybe at home you should have been a dad.
Right.
Been there for them whenever they needed you to be there.
Yeah.
Been a mama or something. Maybe they saw some hypocrisy and they didn't want anything to do with it. That's dad in the pulpit. He's just, you know, that's his career. But at home, he's nothing like that.
Yeah, come on.
Kids, they don't want something fake. They want something real. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it's oftentimes not an either or thing. In fact, let me rephrase that. It's not an either or thing. Well, I got this great call. I got this thing burning in my heart. I need to be doing this for God, doing that for God. It's not like you can either raise your kids right or do that. You're going to have to get the wisdom of God of how to do both of those. And that's possible. Like, take, for example, Pastor Morgan and she's not a pastor now, but, you know, Pastor Morgan and Stephen. Pastor Morgan was pastoring for a while. And now there's a new assignment.
Yes.
Pastor Grant now has become the pastor. That was the plan all along. God, they all knew that. But Morgan and Stephen, their new assignment's now on the road. They're going to be traveling with Pastor Nancy and helping her and even doing some of the preaching, miracle crusades and things like that. And so, but they've got young children.
Right.
Three young children.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, how are we going to do that? I'll guarantee you, you know, Pastor Nancy said the key to her success in parenting was three things. Y'all glad you came this morning?
Yeah.
Number one, I raised them myself.
Right.
I didn't farm them out to all the babysitters. Now, you have babysitters. I'm not preaching against babysitters. Yeah. But you better know who, better know what spirit's on that babysitter, and they better have a renewed mind. And you know them by the Spirit. But my point is, she didn't just get, farm them out to babysitters or, you know, let them stay an overnight at family's home. She doesn't know where they are and, you know, what influence they're getting into over there and all that. She kept them with herself. Number one, she kept them with herself. She raised them herself. Number two, she kept them in the local church. And that's a whole teaching. Amen. My life turned. I'm serving in the plan of God today, but I know exactly where it started turning because I was going the other way. Remember me and Walker Schurz? We didn't just get in the wrong crowd. We were the leaders of the crowd, but we were going the wrong way. But one of the things that started turning for me was my parents somehow or another got a hold of. I don't know. Yeah, I never talked to them about it. But somehow or another, they started putting their foot down about me going out to certain places and with certain people.
Yeah.
You know, some of the crowd that I was running with. John Forey, he was not a good influence either. Remember John Forey? Oh, he was a bad guy. I'm not talking about Clyde Ficus. Clyde Ficus was a neighbor that... But John Forey, now he's the kind of guy I'd go over to his house at night, and boy, we got into all kinds of stuff. Somehow or another, my parents picked that up, and they forbid that. They started cutting that off. And they started refocusing me to be around some of the church kids.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the good church kids.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about goody-goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Kevin Bear, Kendra Martin, and Wanda Clugston. I'll tell you, there's some good church kids right there. And but they just started pushing, and see, they all were the children of some of mom and dad's friends, and mom and dad were good people. My parents lived right and lived good. There was no, you know, compromising at home and worldly stuff, and then go to church and act like you're a saint. My parents lived good lives, and they had good clean friendships, and they had good solid friendship. They loved God, and the people they ran with loved God. And some of these kids, you know, I just mentioned Kevin Bear, he's the pastor's son. Got to be good. They're not always, but he was a good kid. Doing good today. But him, Kevin, and Kendra Martin, she was the daughter of some people my mom still runs around with. Her husband died. But anyway, I'm telling you more than you need to know. But my point is, these are good kids. And they thought some of the things that I used to do and some of the things those people still did, they thought that was stupid. Kevin Bear, Kendra Martin, Wanda Clarkson, they thought that's all stupid. And they helped me to realize that was stupid. Good church kids. And that summer, that change my parents made, cutting that off and just pushing me into the relationship with those three especially. We started hanging out together, and they wouldn't get stupid and get worldly and get carnal and, you know, want to kiss in the back of those two girls, want to kiss in the back seat or anything. They thought that's all stupid. Be right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Because I tried on Kendra Martin and she...
Come on now.
That's a true story. Hallelujah. I feel like my face is blushing, but anyway. They thought that was all stupid.
Right.
Be mature. Don't be stupid. Right?
Yes.
And that summer, that influence that started turning me. Did you hear that? Started turning me. And that summer I went to summer camp and rededicated my life, and within 2 months I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, so on fire for God that I changed from wanting to go to parties. You know, with all kinds of stuff going on, to go downtown. My mom said, "Where are you going?" I'm going downtown. And Walker Schurz got right with God too.
Yeah, praise God.
Where are you going? I'm going downtown. Walker. My parents couldn't believe it. I'm going downtown to Hagerstown, Maryland, with Walker Schurz, and we're going to go preach to the pimps and prostitutes. And we did. We did. We preached. We had tracts. We preached Jesus. We had to watch out for the pimp because you're sharing Jesus with the prostitute, and the pimp's over there watching. He doesn't like it. I learned all about all that.
Wow.
That's where I got a hold of Jerry Savelle's book, Sharing Jesus Effectively.
Amen.
I think we got it in the bookstore.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn my life around.
Yeah.
Why? Right associations.
Yeah, that's so
that was
good.
The beginning of it. My parents put down the rules. Right, no, you're not going to go out there with John Forey and all that. John DeFore was a German Baptist kid. I don't know if you know what German Baptists are. They're the plain dressing people. They're almost Amish, but they drive cars. Don't let you think that makes them a good person. John Forey was into, he was a bad kid. Anyhow, so Pastor Nancy, remember she said, I kept him, I raised him myself, I kept him in church. You got to guard your children's fellowship. Well, there's even kids in church you got to guard against their fellowship. I had other kids in my church that they weren't good fellowship. Got to follow the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, why won't you let Johnny? Well, just do you believe in being led? That's all the answer you need. I'm led or I'm not led. Don't get offended about it. Besides, some kids need different. They need protection more than others because of the things the enemy's, the traps he's set for them because of what God wants to use them for. Anyway, I kept them. I raised them myself. I kept them in church. Remember, Pastor Nancy's, why the kids turned out so well. And they did. They turned out right. And then the third one was, I'm trying to remember what the third one was. I kept them in church. I raised them myself. And there's another one. Praise the Lord. You remember what it was? Thank you. She paid attention to their fellowship. Yeah. Anyway, there's a third one. But I'll get to that. Maybe I'll just look it up right now, since you all want to know right now. I got it in my notes here somewhere. Tell your neighbor we're going to find a third one. She guarded their fellowship like a rattlesnake. That was it. Guarded their fellowship like a rattlesnake. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now you know about Kevin Bear, Kendra Martin, and Wanda Clugston. I saw them, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, and I don't remember what setting it was. Went back home for holidays or something, and they're still just right down the middle of the road serving God. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of people God builds the kingdom on. Glory to God. Anyway, I started talking about Pastor Morgan, you know. I was talking about, well, I got this assignment on my life. I need to do this plan. This is God's plan for my life. And my kids are kind of a distraction, you know. And you can't treat those kids as a distraction. They'll pick up on that. They'll pick on that and up on that and realize mom and dad aren't paying attention. Now I'm going to get into this. I'm going to get into that. Or they'll start developing insecurities because mom and dad don't really care about, right?
Yes, sir.
But I was talking about Pastor Morgan, who's not pastor anymore, but Morgan and Stephen. This new assignment. They got three kids. What are they going to do? I haven't talked to him about it. I've talked to him about other things, but not that. Yeah. But I'll guarantee you, next time I get to one of those meetings, and they're now in this new role, I guarantee you those kids will be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why? Because she's not going to let somebody else raise them. I don't mean she won't have people there helping her.
Right.
You understand.
Yes,
yeah. But yeah, on the other hand, she knows exactly where they are. Yeah. She's interacting with them all day long.
Yeah.
Right? Praise the Lord. Parenting means you're present. Praise the Lord. Now, a child left to himself. You see that? A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Left to himself. What does that mean? In other words, they don't have the influence of that parent there guiding them. They're on their own to make those decisions.
Yeah.
Now, parenting, people think, well, you know, my children need to be able to, you know, when it comes, let's say, going to church. My child doesn't want to go to church. Well, first of all, you got to start when they're young.
Yeah. Amen.
This should never be something that you discuss on Sunday mornings when they're 2 years old, 3 years old, about whether we're going to church.
Right. No.
It shouldn't be something that they have a voice into about whether they're going to church.
That's right.
The parenting child's relationship is the only relationship that God allows the parent to make them do something against their will.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Because
it's training.
Right.
It's not teaching. It's training. Yeah. Teaching's part of training, but you can't just teach and then not model it or not make them do it.
Yeah.
If you're training them to ride a bike, you might get on the bike and you show them, okay, this is how you do it. And you got to keep the steering wheel like this. And then you say, okay, you get on there. But you're going to walk beside them.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, put your feet on the pedal a little bit, hold the steering wheel, and you're going to hold the bike. You're going to walk beside them, right? And then you're eventually going to let them do more and more and more and more. That's training.
Yeah.
When are they done training? Whenever they can do it on their own and they do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Same thing's true spiritually. when you're raising children, somebody said, when can I let them make their own decisions? Whenever they make them right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, they're 25 and not in the house. You're not going to make any decisions for them anymore. But there should be, the children shouldn't have the option to choose whether to go to church.
That's right.
That's until they learn to, that's part of their first nature.
Yes.
They're not done being trained.
Yes. That's good.
Make any sense?
Yes. Really
praise the Lord. You think you wouldn't have to say some of these things, but it's amazing. Well, I need to let my children make their own spiritual decisions. Not at that age, you don't. That age is the age of training what the right decision is, and therefore, out of bed right now. My mom had ways of getting me out of bed. You want me to tell you some of my mom? I have had water splashed in my face. In bed.
Yeah.
I have awoken to the whole mattress being slid off the side of the bed. You think I'm making that up? Call my mama. I'll give you her number. She'll tell you. The whole mattress is sliding off and I'm rolling onto the floor. Because it was the third time she said, get up, and I had not got up. So she had a way of getting me up. I turned out all right. But see, I want my children to make their own decisions. If they're not making the right decisions, it's not time for them to make the right decisions. They're still in training. If you give them a little bit of liberty and they make the wrong decision, you take it back. They're not ready for that decision. And you tell them what to do. Praise the Lord. Let's finish up. I didn't plan on spending all my time on some of this or this part of this. I wanted to talk more about training. But... Abraham was chosen because part of the reason God chose him is because he would raise his children right. So, getting Jesus into the earth was, in God's mind, very much, and Abraham took this mindset, it was very much a family business. Did you get that? The plan of God in our generation, it has to be thought of as a family business. This is not just me serving God. It's me and my house. And whenever I'm done and I've trained them and they're walking with God, I've lived out my course of my life, they're going to pick up the baton. They're going to start running their race without me being here. And because I trained them right, they'll run right down the middle of the track. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So think of it as the plan of God is not just the plan of God for my life. It's the plan of God for my family.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm called to the ministry. My wife's not. She's an heir together of the grace of life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So if you're in the ministry, she's got some grace on her to help you there.
Yes.
And she's now in the ministry.
Yes.
And so are your kids.
Yes.
I don't get this stuff where ministers' kids all turn out to be something else than ministers. I don't get that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's God.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Yes,
come on.
Just telling you. Praise the Lord. All right. A friend of mine, we're just going to just talk about this because it seems to be where the unction is here right now. A friend of mine said that he was in a setting where he was teaching. And he said this statement, and I hadn't thought about it, but he made this statement. He said, my wife and I, they have three kids. He said, my wife and I are, I forget how many years he said, but several years behind Pastor Jay and Debbie in the ministry because we have kids and they don't. I thought about that. I thought, I said, yeah, I understand that. Y'all still listening to me?
Yeah.
And as I meditated on it, I thought he was saying there's some things that God wants us to do that we said we've got to make sure our kids are taken care of first.
Right.
Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. Hello. Praise God. So what he was saying was he'd chosen to give some time to being there to raising those children in those younger years. Because their children were younger. Not they're getting older now. But in those younger years, those are very formative years. Do you know they say, and I've heard different statistics at different times, but they say that most children's I don't know what it is, psyche or mindset or something. I don't understand exactly what they're saying, but it's pretty much set at the age of 10 years old. In other words, the direction they're going to go or their demeanor kind of thing. I don't know all what they're talking about, but in other words, the point is those younger years are very formative years and very, very critical to whether they're going to choose a certain path or choose another path. I'm not saying nobody after 10 can make a choice to go the right, wrong, or the wrong way. But you understand what is being said. Amen. So they had chosen to be there for their children and raise those children in a younger year. And in those younger years, and certain areas of ministry that required them not to be there, they put it on hold. Now they're in the ministry, but there's some things that God's called them to progress into ministry about. So everybody has to work these things out between them and God. Right? And so they wanted to be there to help those children make those right choices in that younger age. Now, that being said, I'm going to take the other side of it. Brother Hagin was called to go out on the road and got in trouble with God. He was called to go out on the road and went out on the road and said, this is too high a price to pay. Being away from my family, being away from my home, this is too high a price to pay. And so he canceled all his, speaking engagements, all the meetings that he had scheduled on his schedule and went back home. And that first Sunday he was back home, he's sitting in the Sunday school class and fell over with a heart attack. They took him aside. And he said, feel my heart. There's a whole long story to it. But basically, the Lord had said to him, now, you're going to have to repent because I told you it's time for you to go out on the road. Right. And if you repent, you'll be healed. And he repented and he was healed. So that's the other side of it.
Right.
Right? But these friends that I'm talking about had talked this over with God and knew that it was all right for them to stay closer to their family for a while. Because what they need to get into eventually is traveling. You understand? This particular minister's moving from pastoring to traveling. So there's certain things that they chose, and the Lord let them stay there just a little bit longer to get into before they got into that traveling ministry, so they could put more things into those kids in those younger years. Now they're going to work out something where mom's always with them, or there's always got to be some way to work that out. But right on the other hand, the Lord allowed them to put that off a little bit. Here's the point: you got to work those things out between you and God. But don't sacrifice your kids on the altar of ministry.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. What success are you to take the whole world and lose your own kids? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You still glad you came? I got to quit, but I'm only really on page 4 of about 20 pages. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. So you got to work those things out, right? You got to work it out between you and God, sort those things out. I believe there's a way for you to fulfill everything God's put in your heart and yet to have kids turn out right. Pastor Hagin turned out great. Pat Harrison, Brother Hagin's other child, daughter, turned out great. Serving God, took the ministry whenever Brother Hagin went and took the ministry on. Praise God.
Amen.
Brother Hagin's ministry was really, teach my people faith and the move of the Spirit then later in years. And it was mostly emphasizing the United States. Pastor Hagin took it, his assignment. I asked somebody about this recently. I said, it seems to me like, I don't want to say what the Lord's told him. You don't know everything what the Lord's told him. But it seems to me like his assignment was to take what Brother Hagin poured into the nation in the United States and take it all over the world. And they said, I believe you're right. I believe you're right. And Pastor Hagin's done that. Taken all over the world. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Got Bible schools planted all over the world.
Yes, they do.
Praise God. Pat Harrison doing some mighty things for God. Prophet of God, moving in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So they turned out all right.
Yes.
Brother Hagin had the right to go to God and say, all right, you're requiring me to do this. I expect you to take care of my family.
Amen.
And Brother Hagin said he would drive all night just to get home to spend one night with his kids.
Yeah.
Go to one of their ball games, root them on, get in the car and go out again, crying, weeping.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you got to work those things out.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you, you know, this is the way you should do it, this is the way you do it. But I do know there's people on both sides. They want to, you know, neglect their kids and just do everything in the ministry, and that's wrong. The other side of it's just as wrong. I can't do anything serving God in any area because I got these kids. There's a lady out in World Harvest you need to meet. Her name is Deneen. She got kids out every door and window. But she's the most active person in the whole church.
Yeah,
God's got a way of doing things.
Yes,
you got to work those things out. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm having a lot of fun up here. Praise God. You can tell there's unction on this, can't you? Stand with me to your feet. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We need to talk about that individual gifting and bent, training people for their kids, I'm talking about, for their assignment. You got to know that and what that assignment is. And then really, I don't know if it's going to be, we're going to talk about certain things to train your children in, that your children need training in. We can't cover it all. Dear Lord, something new comes up every day, right? But there's certain things I want to talk about. And then if we can get to it Wednesday night, training your children how to pick a mate. Oh, that's huge. Probably the third most important decision in your life.
Yeah.
Second or third, somewhere right up there.
Yeah.
In your life or your children's lives is who they marry.
Right.
Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. I've seen people marry wrong and it just mess up their whole life. I see people marry right. I'm thinking of some of you in here. Marry right. And it's like, boy, I'm so glad he got her, because if he hadn't got her, he'd been off on the deep end somewhere. But he got the right one, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Why you say second or third? Well, the first most important thing is you get saved, right? Somewhere right up there, the next one is either finding your pastor or marrying right. And to me, if you find your pastor, you are going to marry right. So maybe the third most important choice you can make is marrying right. So we need to have some higher standards, folks. But just because they're a sweet little thing and they go to church, that doesn't qualify them as a wife. Smiles real pretty and has pretty hair. Got a good figure. Well, that'll all change after the third baby. Well, I like, he got a big chest. Yeah, you wait till he gets about 45 or 50 and he'll have chest dropped into his jaws disease, you know. Glory. So we need to talk about getting married. There's qualifications. All the single people will be packed in here Wednesday night, man. I'm telling you. Maybe we ought to have the youth over here Wednesday night. Talk about picking the right mate. Let's do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who's pointing? Mom's pointing to somebody. Oh, yeah. That good-looking young man at the end of the aisle, he needs to hear it. Hallelujah. Then after the service on Wednesday night, we'll have applications for marriage. Who'll give 555? Hey. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Father, for the ability to have a good time, but yet get our minds renewed. We bless you, Father, for the help you're giving us. We thank you for the direction to teach on this. Lord, you know I came into it with trepidation. Now I'm glad I'm doing it. Thank you, Jesus, for it. And Father, as we move through this, I thank you for guiding us and giving us the right words to say. And Father, we thank you for divine rescues in the name of Jesus because of this message and this season of these teachings. And we thank you, Father, for delivering many, many families from just the heartache and the pain of making wrong decisions. Because of right teaching, Father, they'll make right decisions. And we give you all the praise for it. And we seal this word into our hearts. And we say, Father, we hold it fast. We'll be doers of it. And we'll make adjustments as the word comes and the light comes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.